Before I play for you today's False Teacher Tuesday Sermon of the Day, which is a good one, from our good buddy Joel Osteen down there at Lakewood Church, which has now got about 8 million members, and I wish I were kidding. It's huge! And he's touring the country, by the way. He'll be in Madison Square Garden. He's going all over the country, taking his show on the road. Biggest church in the country right now is this Lakewood Community Church. Before we get to that sermon, I want to read to you a couple of prayers. Hold on. There's my book. Here we go. They're very short, so don't turn the dial. It's from a book called The Valley of Vision. Lou Gronseth gave me this book. It's a book of Puritan prayers, prayers written by people from 300-400 years ago. And I want you to listen to the difference in these prayers compared to the difference of prayers that I think are uttered today, and where the focus of these prayers is versus the message of today, in not only with blatant false teachers like Joel Osteen, like Robert Schuller, but even the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ in good churches is being affected, is being influenced by the amount of emphasis put on you. Not that we don't get things as a Christian, but it's the amount of attention that is given to those that is out of balance and it's out of whack. And I would like to perhaps encourage us all as we listen to sermons, as we listen to songs, as we look, go to Northwestern Bookstore, you're going to find a ton of books in there that we should just pass on. Now, there's a ton of great books, but there's a ton of bad ones. Go there knowing how to determine which is which, and the best way to do that is by asking one really simple question. Is it a man-centered book, or is it a God-centered book? Man-centered, God-centered, because so much of what is seeping its way into the church today is man-centered. What you can do, what you get, what is God doing in your life? What does the passage say to me? Boy, what a radical difference. Take it. Here's a great example. People will say, well, what is that scripture? You know what the scripture means to me? It means to me that I can get through the day. That I can accomplish great things today. For God, of course. But that's what that Bible verse says to me. Well, who cares what it says to you? Let's say that I read the same Bible verse and I say that it means what it means to me is that David Wheaton is going to get into the best shape of his life. And he is going to go on to conquer Wimbledon this summer when he goes there in July to play in the Wimbledon 35s and up. That's what that verse says to me. You'd go, well, that's stupid. That doesn't say that exactly. But I could counter. Well, that's what it says to me. That's what it means to me. Who cares? It doesn't matter what it says to you. It doesn't matter what it says to me. What matters is, what does it say? And accept it for what it is. The difference would be exegesis versus eisegesis. Exegesis, you read the scripture and you get out of it what it says. As opposed to eisegesis, I'm going to read into it what I want it to say to support my thinking, to support my feelings, to support what I need today. So when you come across almost anything that is being offered today, music, sermons, books, this program, anything, ask yourself this question. Is it man-centered or is it God-centered? Is it about me or is it about Him? And even, now don't get me wrong, a sermon can be about me as long as it's how I can be obedient, how I can surrender, how I can behave in a way that is pleasing to God so He will be glorified. So that the ultimate end is the buck stops with Him. Now, with that thought in mind, before we get to this false teacher sermon, here's a prayer from the Puritan prayer book. Listen to this attitude. The attitude toward the propensity of the human heart to be evil, as opposed to, I'm a conqueror, I'm a victor, I can do great things today. O God, may the Spirit speak in me that I may speak to Thee. I have no merit. Let the merit of Jesus stand for me. I am undeserving, but I look to Thy tender mercy. I am full of infirmities, wants, sin. Thou art full of grace. I confess my sin, my frequent sin, my willful sin. All my powers of body and soul are defiled. A fountain of pollution is deep within my nature. There are chambers of foul images within my being. I have gone from one odious room to another. Walked in a no man's land of dangerous imaginations, pried into the secrets of my fallen nature. I am utterly ashamed that I am what I am in myself. I have no green shoot in me nor fruit, but thorns and thistles. I am a fading leaf that the wind drives away. I live bare and barren as a winter tree, unprofitable, fit to be hewn down and burnt. Lord, dost thou have mercy on me? Thou hast struck a heavy blow at my pride, at the false god of self, and I lie in pieces before thee. But thou hast given me another master and Lord, thy son Jesus, and now my heart is turned towards holiness. My life speeds as an arrow from a bow towards complete obedience to thee. Help me in all my doings to put down sin and to humble pride. Save me from the love of the world and the pride of life, from everything that is natural to fallen man, and let Christ's nature be seen in me day by day. Grant me grace to bear thy will without repining, and to be, and to delight to be not only chiseled, squared, or fashioned, but separated from the old rock where I have been embedded so long, and lifted from the quarry to the upper air, where I may be built in Christ forever. You got to get this prayer book. You got to get this. I don't know what it costs. Lou Gronseth gave it to me. It comes in Cabra-bonded leather. It's called Valley of Vision. Put it at your bedside. Do your best to grab it first thing in the morning and at the end of the day, if you have not been praying to your God during the course of the day in a dedicated fashion. It goes on and on and on with a closer balance. I'm not saying that all of Christianity is, I am horrible, I am wretched, but that it should be a balance of that and an understanding that I by myself, my nature, my old nature, all by itself is corrupt, it's evil, it's horrible. The propensity to sin is with me always, and only if I am abiding in the vine will I bear any fruit that is good. And let there be a correct balance, as opposed to so much of this Tony Robbins Christianity. You can do it. You're a conqueror. You're a victor. What it all boils back to, if you want to just take it back and back and back, you can take this back to Pelagianism, that we have the ability to do good in and of ourselves 1600 years ago. You can take this back even further. You can take it back to Buddhism, that you've got God in you 600 years BC. But take it back even further to the creation of the world. And when we see Satan enter the world's second oldest religion, you can be like God. That's what this is, that you can be a little God. And it's showing up, and they're in churches where they are playing praise and worship songs that we love. You'll hear sermons like this that are being, you walk into a church and you think, oh, it must be good. They're playing some of my favorite songs. You are the Lord, the but then all of a sudden, they start preaching the second oldest religion in the world. You've got God in you. It's False Teacher Tuesday here on Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS. Let's get to it. Here's a great sample. Here's Joel Osteen down there at Lakewood Church in Texas.
It is always a joy to come into your homes each week. We know God has good things in store for all of His people.
Is that right? What if I get stoned today? What if some crazy Muslim finds me on the drive home and shoots me, Joel? God's got good things in store. What if I get the phone call from the doctor today and find out it's cancer? Yeah, is that a good thing? Really? That's a good thing, huh? How do you balance that with your theology? You can't. You can't.
Seeking after God, God says that, you know, He will give you the desires of your heart. So we come.
If it's in alignment with Scripture and His will. We've got to be careful with that prayer promise.
I'm with good news today. If you're ever in the Houston area, I hope you'll stop by and see us. I promise you we'll make you feel right at home. But thanks for tuning in today. I like to get started each week with something funny, so listen to this.
Oh, boy.
The Pope had just finished speaking and was on his way to the airport. Having never driven a limousine before, he asked the chauffeur if he could drive. Not having much of a choice, the chauffeur got in the back seat and allowed the Pope to drive. A few minutes later, a policeman pulled the car over for speeding. When the officer saw who the driver was, he called his supervisor and said, "I've just pulled over a very important person, and I don't know what to do." "Who is it?" the supervisor asked. "I don't know." "Well, is it the governor?" "No." "Is it the president?" "No." "Well, who is it?" the officer replied. "I don't know who it is. All I know is the Pope is his chauffeur."
Whoa!
All right, y'all.
All right,
hold up your Bibles and say it like you mean it. Ready?
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God.
Well, maybe.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
And now that you're predisposed to accepting this teaching, let's continue.
You sound great as usual. I want to talk to you today about your thoughts and about how important it is that we guard our minds and think the right thoughts. A lot of people today are not really enjoying their lives, all because their mind is a mess.
All right, let's just stop right there. What Bible verse is there? A lot of people are not enjoying their lives because their mind is a mess. All right, I'm trying hard. Let your mind be conformed not to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Let your mind be renewed. Romans 12:1. Let your mind be renewed by the. For the love of Mike. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not conformed to the pattern of this world, that you might prove that the will of God is perfect and acceptable. Boy, why am I butchering this verse? What is the matter with me? I used to know that one. Romans 12:1 is the verse that jumps to mind. That we're supposed to have a mind that is not a mess. All right. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done, is that too much? Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. Can I use that verse? I don't think so. A fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. I'll have joy. If my mind isn't a mess, no. If I've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me, that's how I'll have joy. Will I have joy if my mind isn't a mess? Well, hold on. What's joy? Remember, happiness comes from the outside. Happiness is the bag of popcorn that I got at Candyland today that I'll be eating tonight, and I can't wait. Joy comes from something deeper, something that is abiding, something that is in you that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, because it is a part of you. That is what joy is. So do I have joy simply because I have a clear mind or a not messed up mind? Hey, there's a lot of pagans who don't have a messed up mind, but they don't have joy. I can't think of a Bible verse that validates that statement that he just slung out there.
It's filled with fear and worry. They're constantly dwelling on negative, destructive, harmful thoughts.
All right, Philippians 4. Let you dwell on these things. Dwell on things that are pure, lovely, but it's not so that your life will be joyful, I think. Let's take a look at Philippians 4, 8. By the way, if you're thinking, are you going to stop it every single time and try to look up a Bible verse? Yes. Yes, I am. It's exactly what we should be doing. I want to see if this guy is preaching from the Bible. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so God will be with you, but does that mean you'll have... Well, a little sloppy. Let's go back to Joel Osteen.
They don't realize it, but the root cause of many of their problems is simply the fact they're not controlling their thought life.
Is that true? Is that true? So you know what this is, don't you? The power of positive thinking is what you got whiffs of right now.
They're just thinking any thought that comes into their mind. But we have to understand our life is going to follow our thoughts. If you think negative...
Whoa. Our life is going to follow our thoughts. Is that right? Okay, how does that work? Well, what he's going to suggest to you is the more you think about it, that's the way you're going to go. If you think negative, your life will be negative. You think positive, things are going to be positive. What is the assumption there? The assumption is that you have the possibility to make it so. That you have the ability to make the future happen by the way you think. Who has the ability to do that? Only person I know of is God. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what this is really about.
Thoughts. Then you're going to live a negative life. If you think discouraging, hopeless thoughts, can't do it thoughts, mediocre thoughts, then your life is going to go down that exact same pathway.
Yeah, power of positive thinking. Glitzed up and in a Christian church?
Now, I want to challenge you today to think about what you're thinking about. If I go around thinking that I'm just going to barely make it, I'll probably never be successful. I'll never get out of all these problems. You know what? I'm not going to live in victory.
What does that mean? Live in victory? What does that mean? Oh, so you are going to control if you live in victory. God isn't going to do it. You are. Furthermore, just from a psychological standpoint, I think his psychology is even bad. This is the difference. This is medicine, is what he's prescribing. He's prescribing medicine for a happy life. How does medicine work? Well, not all medicines. Some medicines, like aspirin, for instance. Aspirin doesn't cure the problem. What does aspirin do? It goes to the symptom, masks it, removes it, but it doesn't remove the problem. And the same thing is true with this power of positive thinking attitude. Why does somebody typically utter negative things all the time? It's because they at their core are negative. And out of the mouth, the heart speaks. You are not going to change the heart by speaking differently. The heart needs to change for you to speak differently. He's got it backwards. He thinks that somehow you're going to change your attitude, you're going to change your outcome, just by speaking it and making it so. The Bible says just the opposite. You're going to talk the way you actually are, and so what your nature is, that's what's going to come flying out of your mouth. Even his psychology is bad. Welcome back. God in you. How is this creeping its way into modern-day good evangelicalism? Are you hearing any whiffs of it anywhere? Any sermon, any books, any music? How does it compare to that Puritan prayer we just heard? Talk the Walk on False Teacher Tuesday, AM 980, KKMS, more Spirited Talk Radio, and Pete Bush in traffic.